The reading for this morning is from Luke chapter 1, verses 57 to 80. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, when they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah, but his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. Amen.
This morning's reading is about rejoicing. And it's not any kind of rejoicing. It's a rejoicing of a word that was fulfilled. God spoke, and when God spoke what he said, it came into being. But before we do that, I'd like us to spend a few minutes of reflecting. I'm not sure at this Christmas period you have time to reflect on things. I don't know about you, but it seems that like is this avalanche of things that suddenly show up and all need doing now, or better, yesterday. And I don't know if you're working or you're retired, but at work, it seems that things that we thought that they were all done, suddenly they spring up from books and plannings and plans and all that, and everyone is requesting it needs to be done today, before the end of the year, before Christmas. Like, Christmas comes and that's an end to everything. And over the last few days, I was reflecting of a verse that is really, really close to my heart, and it's really close to my wife's heart, and it's very important for us as a family. Many, many years ago, when I first stepped into this country, about 12 years ago in January, at that New Year's, the Lord really spoke to me through this verse in Jeremiah 29:11, and I'm sure you know, but I'm just going to refresh and bring this to you. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And it comes again and again at the end of the year and beginning of a new year. It comes again and again as a reflection of what God has done in our lives, in my life, over the last year. And this year has not been a walk where the path was full of red petals of roses. It was quite different than that. We had up and downs. We had stressful events. We have been through difficult times, disappointing times. But in the same time, I would say that all along I could see and we could see the Lord's hand upon us. And I'm sure if you reflected your life over the last year, you could see and you could testify that God has never been far from you. And it's worth spending that time when you can finish your shopping and cleaning your house and putting your Christmas tree up. Just reflect of how the Lord has been to you over the last year. It's Advent, and when it's Advent, we should be doing things a little bit different, or at least we should try to do things a little bit different. We should spend some time reflecting on our relationships. We see if we've progressed in our relationships, in our family, at work, with our neighbors, in the church. Maybe reflecting on our connection with God. And our relationship with God is important for us as Christians. If any of us have not been in that point where they have a relationship with God, maybe reflecting on the fact that it's needed for anyone to live a meaningful life, to have a relationship with God. Even when we are hit by storms in life, and reality is we're still standing because God is with us. Even if we are very successful and everything runs properly for us, we are there because God is with us. Because when God says something, He does it. You see, God says, "For I know the plans that I have for you." He said it to His people in a moment of their history, when they were slaves, where they were depleted of their country, they had nothing, and they were despised. And then God says to them, "I have something in store for you. I have a future for you." And He was looking at the future, not only on the time when the people will return back to the promised land, but He was looking at the country that is beyond this earth, at the country where you can enter believing in Lord Jesus. I'm going to start this morning and say that God has a plan, and when God has a plan, thank God there is someone who has a plan. When God has a plan, He knows what's going on. He knows what's happening. He's omniscient. He is all-powerful. When He says a word, that's happening. And He started at the beginning in Genesis, and you'll be pleased that I'm not going to read the whole Bible to you this morning, but I'm just going to mention a few verses from Genesis chapter 3. When there was a problem, the old serpent came and whispered sometimes in Eve's ear, not you, Eve, Eve in the garden, and he whispered and said, "You will not surely die. Just eat from the fruit, you'll be like God." And she believed it. And then disaster struck, and we know what happened. The man failed, there was a breaking in the relationship, and the sin was a reality in the first people's life. Here we go. There in verse 15, God brings a word that will be fulfilled at some point. He says, "Through the seed of the woman, I will crush your head." And that has happened later on when Jesus comes. Fast forward a few chapters, in chapter 15, we see that God speaks again, this time to a man called Abram. He calls him from his country and he says, "Come in the promised land and I will give you all this country as your inheritance." But he says, "I've got no children, so how can I inherit this land when I've got no one to come after me?" But God says, "Believe me. What I'm telling you is going to happen." And we are told there that Abram believed the Lord and He credited to him as righteousness. The first man who believed God on his word. And God will bring that to being, because God never says something that will not come to happen. Then we can go further in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And there in verse 15, Moses, again, long after Abraham, there in Egypt, after God speaks all the law and he gives them all the instructions on how they should behave and how they should be worship him, God speaks to through Moses, and he says, God will send you a prophet. God will raise you up a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. And all Israel over the years will look at this day when the prophet that was promised by God will come. Even King David had a vision when he writes Psalm number 2. He has this vision, this prophecy, and he's not talking about himself or about his son when he says, I have installed my king in Zion on my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. He wasn't talking about his son who will follow him on the throne. No, he was talking about Jesus. Jesus, who is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Fast forward to the book of Isaiah in chapter 7. There, Isaiah, inspired by the Holy Spirit, in a very difficult situation for the people, he brings this word. He says, there will be a child that will be born in a miraculous way. A virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Wonderful. God is with us. And then in chapter 9, he describes who this Son of God will be and how he will bring the light into the darkness. He will live in that part of Israel called the Galilee of the nations or the Gentiles, where is darkness, spiritual darkness, where people worship gods that don't exist, where evil spirits come into people and destroy families and destroy villages and communities. But there, he says, the Lord will bring a great light. And he is not any prophet. He is the Son of God. For a child is born to us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and his peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish all this. And I could go straight in to the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. And there in chapter 4, a prophet inspired by the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit of God, he speaks about a wonderful thing that will happen to his people and all the nations. He says that the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And you will go out and you will be like calves released from the stall. There he talks about the person who is coming before the anointed, the Son of God, the prophet Elijah, who will come and he will bring peace between fathers and sons, and between sons and fathers. It was needed in a broken society as the one that we live is needed, someone to come and bring peace. When God has a plan, he does it. He fulfills it. He is in control. When God speaks, his word has power and it's fulfilled. But God doesn't have just a general plan. He doesn't have this general plan. He writes, he speaks through people, and then we've got the Bible all written up and we have to search for what's God's plan. He has a personal plan. He has a plan for each individual. He brings his plan at the individual level. And if you don't know yet the plan that God has for you, just think and seek the Lord. He will reveal that to you. And in the text that we just read this morning, we can see that this general plan, where God says, I will save the world, I will send my Savior, I will send my Son to redeem what is lost, to bring prisoners back to freedom, to release those who are in captivity of the evil one, to give them a good life and meaningful life. He says, it's not just general, I'll bring it to you, it will make it personal to you. And then he finds and he has in plan that Elizabeth and Zechariah will be the people who will give birth to the one who will go before the Lord, before the Son of God, who will prepare the way. He will make straight the path before the Lord. He will preach a gospel of repentance and turning to God. And the first thing that I want to say here, that it matters to live a holy life and a righteous life, because then God can use you. You see, Zechariah and Elizabeth did not get disheartened when they couldn't have children. And we understand from the scripture that they were quite well off in years when they had John. And they didn't say, well, because God didn't bless us with children, now, well, we can live whatever we like. No, we are told they, in holiness and in righteousness, they seek the Lord. They tried and they wanted to fulfill the commandments of the Lord. And there, in their righteousness, in their walk with God, in their understanding of the scripture, God comes and he brings his plan. He said, well, you will have a son. Even if the people look at you and they suspect you of some secret sins, that is, when people can't have children around, people will say, oh, yes, you've done something tricky. Oh, yes, yes, something is not quite right. And it was the same thing then. You know, a righteous couple being suspected by those around them, by the community, saying, well, maybe something is completely wrong with you. Maybe spiritually you are not really close to God. Well, God says, leave them talk. I will come and fulfill my plan. And here we go. God comes and speaks to Zacharias in the temple. But when God speaks, he brings his word to fulfillment. And it matters to hear well when God speaks to us. You know what would happen if Zacharias just heard from God, the angel came and said to him, look, you're going to have a son and you're going to call him John. If Zacharias just walked off and as soon as he walked off the temple, he forgot what God said. It is important for us when God speaks to hear well what God has to say. And also, moreover, when God said he will be called John, and he goes and he speaks to Elizabeth and says, look, this is what God said, and he wrote it down, whatever the way he communicated to Elizabeth, but the son that we will have will be called John. When everyone around expected the son to be called Zacharias or any other name from the family, they said, no, it will be called John, because Jehovah was shown mercy. Jehovah has shown favor to us. He was gracious to us, and we must obey. We heard what he said, and we fulfill what he said. And also, it matters to be humble enough to let the grace of God be real in our lives. God will make miracles for you. God has made miracles for them. An old couple humanly couldn't have any more children. And here we go. God interferes and changes the nature. So his plan is fulfilled. And those who are faithful are full of joy. And there is a way to respond when God works. And Zechariah does the best thing someone can ever do. It's he responds with the song of praise. I'm not sure about you, but when God gives you an answer to your prayers, what is the thing that you really want? What is the thing that you really longed for? What is the prayers that you were bringing to the Lord many, many, many years? I remember a testimony that my grandmother used to tell me that in their church, There was a young man who every day when he was in church and in his daily life, he would pray for his family. He was the only Christian in the family. He had several brothers and sisters and his parents. And this young man was seeking the Lord, crying out and saying, I want them to be saved. Lord, please, would you listen to my prayer? And the years passed and nothing happened. And one day, yes, this young man from nowhere got a very bad illness. And he went to the doctors, and the church was praying for him, and the family was trying to help him. The church was trying to help him. The family were trying to help him. They couldn't do anything. They came to a point where they said, well, you know, it's just God. We can't do anything anymore. And then he was on his deathbed, and he was waiting the day to see his savior. And there, the pastor visited, and the only thing he really wanted was the Lord to answer his prayer. And there, the family around them heard his wishes. And they were touched and pierced to their hearts. And they said, well, if this is the faith of our son, the God that he is serving and loving is a wonderful God. It's worth for us to come to him. And there and then, they decided to follow the Lord. You would like to see the burst of praise on the lips on a man, a young man, who is about to see his Savior, knowing that his family have turned to the Lord. And Zacharias was blessed with one of these miraculous answers where God says, look, I'm going to give you what we were praying for. And Zacharias, not only that he has his mouth open, his ears open, he praises the Lord with all his heart, with all that he has. He's filled with the Spirit, is 100% guided by the Holy Spirit, and that helps in his praise. You see, when sometimes we don't have words and we can't find the right way to worship and praise God, the Holy Spirit is there to help us, to give us strength, to give us the right word to bring praise and prayer to the Lord. The Holy Spirit is there to comfort us, to support us, to lift us. And this is what the Holy Spirit God does with Zacharias. And the most, one of the most wonderful songs of praise come out of his lips. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised the horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through the holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. You see, it is worth to praise the Lord because, and we should praise the Lord, because he has redeemed his people. Zechariah says here, look, you who hear my song of praise, the God has sent his redemption. The God will send the Savior. The fact that he will do that is the proof my son is here. The one who walked will walk before the Lord. He's here. The Savior is at the door. So praise him, give him glory, give him praise. God has fulfilled his word that he will save us, send a Savior, as he said. He raised the horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. You see, when he speaks about it, he uses this metaphor of a horn. A horn is the image of power, of strength. It's used by the bull to defend himself, but also as a weapon of attack. And what he says here, look, we've been down because of our sins. We've been trashed because of our way of living. But God will bring salvation to us. He will take us out of this status where we are lost. He will bring us a savior. God always keeps his word. He never forgets his promise. In verses 72 and 73, he says, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham. God one day promised Abraham that he will send a savior and he will bring many people from all nations to him, and he will be his father because they believe he is the father of all who believe in him, who have faith in him. Also, God will bring a kingdom where there is freedom and people can worship him without fear, in holiness, in righteousness, and all the time. Zechariah's song of praise comes with a prophetic word. And here, Zechariah behaves and he's a prophet. He speaks using a compilation of prophecies about John the Baptist. As I've read a few verses in some parts of the Old Testament. What he actually says is, look, this child of mine will fulfill God's promise. He will open a way that no one could close because the Savior, Jesus, is coming. I would encourage you at this time, when we come near Christmas, finish your shopping, cleaning your house, putting up your Christmas trees. Enjoy the season. Don't be overwhelmed with what is expected from you to do. But take some time and reflect. And find the reasons for which you want to praise the Lord. Shout to the Lord a new song, a song that brings glory to the King, the only Savior. Today we enter the second week of Advent. We've been challenged to read this gospel, the Gospel of Luke, and I hope you take the challenge and read it every day. It helps us to bring a new perspective on our life. Rejoice because God loves you. God loves us. He's demonstrated this by sending Jesus. Rejoice because you have seen his word being fulfilled. Jesus has come. Rejoice because his word is personal and speaks to each one of us, each one of you. He fulfills what he promises to each one of us. Rejoice. Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas has come gentle and vulnerable, but now he is crowned with power and majesty in the glory of God. And there is one more reason to rejoice. He's coming again. Amen. Amen.